Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazin'.
All right, we're here with today's guest, Mr. Chris Bowers, everybody. Chris Bowers, that's pretty loud, Todd. There we go, a little. All right.
I was doing a fade out. I pulled my phone back. You see that?
Good.
Professional.
Listen, we're talking top lot. We're talking about next level production here. Now, we're here with Mr. Chris Bowers. Chris Bowers has recently moved to L.A. within years. By recently, that could be within 3 years.
I moved to L.A. the same day you moved to New York.
My God. 3 years now. I would like, if you can please do me a favor and name off the top of your head five freeways in the L.A. area.
Okay, there's the 405, the 101, the 10, the 118, and let's call the one that goes to Santa Monica Boulevard and then becomes the PCH. How about that?
So you go Sepulveda on them. Impressive, very valley oriented. You can see there is a concentration.
Well, I was in the valley for a year and a half, and now I'm in LA, and now I'm in Hollywood where there aren't any freeways really. There's the 101.
Just a couple of small tips. If you need to buy shirts, you're going to head downtown LA. Fun day trip. Head on down there one time with your lady and go to the fucking Santee Alley. And also, great food down there. Good, great diners down there. Great diners downtown.
Where do you think I got this jacket, bro? Fucking eighth.
Oh, so you're down there already.
Oh, I've been down there.
That's Santee Alley?
Yeah,
let's fucking go, bro.
Garment District, baby. It's where I get all my shit.
Oh, also, little tip, everybody that's in LA, you don't know this. If you're out there buying flowers at full price, like a fucking Momo in Los Angeles, just go downtown to the floral area, bro. The florists. Where do you think all the LA florists go get their shit?
Yeah.
At the floral store.
What I do now is I just go down to the docks at Long Beach, and then I swim out to a ship, and I get whatever the fuck I want. There's just ships everywhere.
Oh, that's nice, bro.
I've gotten dining room sets. All you just got to – they'll just throw it off onto a rowboat. They don't care at this point. They've been out there 8 months. They're like, fucking take it, bro.
Hey, no one's doing shipping container wars at sea.
Right?
That's what we need.
That's a show.
Shipping container wars at sea, and then people fucking fly, roll out the boats, whatever.
Get on their jet skis.
I actually heard a good scam for the storage wars kind of deal. So the storage unit, you know, if you don't pay your bill for 2 months, they sell your shit. They auction it off. So what this guy did is he buys boxes, like real good boxes, like from and he just labels them all like fucking valuables or whatever the fuck, you know, like baseball cards or jewelry or whatever. He just stacks them all nice and neat in that storage unit. Right. He doesn't pay for 2 months. It costs about $250. That fucks his credit up a little bit. But when they sell it, when they auction it off, you get half the money. So these motherfuckers for $250, he doesn't pay. They go in and they buy the storage locker for $6,000, and it's just empty cardboard boxes with good labels on them.
Jesus. What a scam, dude.
Someone stumbled into that one because they figured out, like, one time somebody had just went delinquent enough, and they get their shit sold for way more, and then that happened, and they're just like, oh, no, this is on. It's on. Let's label this shit gold bars.
Yeah, 13th century art. That's what I would write on there.
From now on, fuck a garage sale. Fuck a garage sale. Put all your shit in nice boxes. Take it to a storage unit. Let it sit there for 2 months. And then it all gets sold for one price.
Man, that's what I'm talking about, bro. Gold bars, Van Gogh paintings, spare Lamborghini parts.
Bigfoot pictures. You know.
Blackmail materials.
Yeah.
And then have a subgroup politicians, another subgroup, federal, local.
There you go. There you go.
That's like, fucking hilarious, bro.
Killed Kennedy? Like, you're like, oh, motherfucker, this has got the secret who killed Kennedy in this box. We gotta
fucking there's just no way around it. They're going to get their hands on your money. These fuckers in the street, bro. There's just a million angles, and these guys are all hopped up on so many different concoctions of drugs and alcohol and over the counter and this and soda and fucking deep fried food.
Hey, speak for yourself, man. Speak for yourself.
Hey, I'm in there too, but I'm saying when you throw it together.
It's not a little autobiographical there, Sean. So does this have a theme, or we just bullshit about storage lockers?
We just bullshit, dude. We just fucking we run off the cuff on this show.
I didn't figure a show with Latham on it would have a fucking script. I didn't figure there'd be a script.
There's no plan. There's no segments. We just freaking go. And if we don't know what we're talking about, we just make it the fuck up.
All right. I'll tell you what, though. You can really, you know, the angles. Pretty clean there. Pretty clean angle because there's all angles. It's like fucking having a podcast in the Matrix.
Yeah. You just never know. It's all X's and O's.
Yeah. Sean Latham is the king of angles. I think you're all about the angle, bro. You're always.
I don't know. Is that a good thing or is that? I mean, I don't know. There's no. I mean, I don't know what that's. I'm a king of angles. I have angles.
We were going to call it geometry blazing instead of guns blazing.
Yeah.
There's so many angles.
Angles blazing. We were going to call it that. That one didn't hit.
Like, see, my thing is like I've been telling people, like, I wear these crazy coats and it's like, but what if the guy with the gimmick was funny? No one's tried that before. Right. That's what I'm going for. Right. So, cause gimmicks work, bro. That's how a bunch of unfunny fucks got on television. So what if a funny person swallowed his pride and had a gimmick? Let's go. I'm shocked.
Dude, that's a fucking That's a concept. What if you had a ventriloquist dummy and you were funny? Like, fuck.
That's what I'm saying. So hey,
no one's tried that before.
I wear the outfit. That's all I'm saying. That's where.
Can you switch me and Bowers, like on the thing, so I can zoom in properly without having? There we go. That's perf. All right, bro, dude. That you know what? You took the Indiana game you had running, and now it's L.A. a little bit with the collar difference. You know what I mean? Like, well, you're rolling
more of a jacket.
Different.
Yeah, but the first day I wore this, I was sitting with a couple of friends, and I go, "Look, I'm not saying you guys are moths. I'm just saying I'm a flame. That's all I'm saying."
That's fucking. That was a good one, bro. Hey, I'm not like, saying
your jacket looks like a disco ball at a swingers club.
Like, well, that's where I got it. It wasn't my coat. I just couldn't find my coat when I got dressed, and I just took this one out of the swingers out of the bedroom. Just on one of the coat.
I'm enjoying your natural, your wonderful lighting there. That California sunshine. That's nice. Well,
it's 10 a.m. here, man. You know, this is early for me. You know, I don't usually wake up this early, but
you know, I had one of these. I had two of these superior 10-ounce beers left, and when Todd said you were coming on, I'm like, well, I got to crack one of those.
Nice.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Listen, time has no reference when we're hanging kicking it with Bowers on a podcast, bro. Yeah.
There's no rules. We don't have 8 to 5s. We don't have regular jobs. We can drink. No. We can do whatever we want during the day.
Bro, remember how pumped we were when we fucking, Todd, when we got that apartment with that garage by the club, and we're like, yo, let's just, and we fucking just turned, Todd started doing what Todd things with the sound stuff on the walls and shit. Remember we were stuffing, we shoved it into the front of the garage door, bro.
I couldn't afford like acoustic, you know, sound absorbing panels. So I went and bought those eggshell mattress covers everywhere.
Oh, I thought you just fucked a bunch of college girls and stole their mattress covers when you left. I thought that's what you were doing. I didn't realize
you
bought those.
Maybe a couple.
Those were all conquests. I thought those were all women you slept with and you took the egg crate off their fucking mattress. That was what you were 22. You always had that egg crate thing on your mattress.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, why do people buy expensive beds? You guys are fucking dummies.
Yeah, just get your egg crate.
Then you buy a real bed and you're like, oh, yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Then people figured out it's nothing but a sponge that absorbs bacteria.
Yeah. I have a theory that that's why kids don't sleep well is because their beds suck. You ever try to sleep in a kid's bed? Like I was saying to a friend, like, you stay in my son's bed. I'm like, Jesus Christ. No matter, he doesn't ever go to bed and he never wants to fucking take a nap. This bed sucks.
They are the worst mattresses.
Like an adult. Why do we think? Then we wonder why babies don't sleep. They sleep on a fucking piece of cardboard. Like, yeah. My baby doesn't sleep the other night. Get him a real mattress. He'd probably sleep forever.
Fucking get him something nice at least. Don't have to get him the fucking cot, but you don't have to get him the goddamn $4,000. Meet him in the middle. Those are comfy.
Well, you're wasting your time getting a baby a memory foam mattress because they have no memory. Oh, that doesn't start till like age two.
Yeah, you buy a mattress, you need to make it extra long for growing room, like you do shoes.
I would like to hang out with one of those guys that says he can remember before he was 2 years old. What else happened, bro? What happened? So your mom burped you, then what? Oh, damn, she put you back in the stroller?
Yeah.
Like, fuck, what do you care if you remember? There's nothing to remember.
It's kind of like how, anesthesia has a...
I've never met
it
her.
It wipes out your memory, you know? Like,
who's anesthesia? I've never met her.
She's a great dancer, by the way.
Oh, unbelievable. Nice. Unbelievable.
A little lazy, but she's got moves. But you know how you get anesthesia before surgery, and then it has an amnesia effect? I think that's how it is with babies. Like, God has this chemical that releases in their brain. It's like anesthesia, and it causes amnesia. That's why they have no memory, because there's nothing worth fucking remembering until like age two. Like, I remember fucking laying in a bassinet, sucking on a rubber thumb.
And I remember one time I threw fucking a peanut shell back out of the place. Listen, do you think anybody's ever been named Anastasia and then she had amnesia?
Anesthesia?
Yeah. Anesthesia. Fuck it, and amnesia, bro.
Are we cutting this? Do we want editing this, or does this?
We just, no, we no. don't edit this.
Anastasia, yeah, Anastasia had amnesia.
Amnesia, and also
amnesia, and she threw up, so it helped. Anyway,
listen. A lot of times, we do get a lot of wordplay people that love our podcast. There's 6 or 7 people that really enjoy language, that just for the way we play with words.
Yeah, we were ranked number 4 of all wordplay podcasts.
Yeah.
In 2020.
And there's like an 80-person market for that. So it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you probably just advertise on a lot of the Boggle sites, I would imagine. You go to the Boggle sites and you put your stuff up and people come over and they... If you're enough of a Boggle fan that you're on a Boggle fan site, I think you're probably going to listen to this podcast, I would imagine, right?
That's mind-boggling.
Dude, you've been fucking hitting Vegas a lot.
What's going on, bro?
Well, we had a crazy, I don't know, man. It was like, I did 38 days in a row of partying or traveling or both. I don't know what happened. I went to Vegas 2 different times. I went to Summer Splash, which is like a DJ festival thing. And then I went to a buddy of mine. So my cousin, her fiance, who I've met like 4 or 5 times now, but I'd only met him like 3 times. He called me up. He's like, "Hey man, I'm the best man in a bachelor party and we're going to Vegas, but I don't know how to have fun in Vegas. I'm afraid it's going to be lame. So could you come for a couple days and make sure we have a good time?" So they basically called me in.
You got
the bench,
hired in, bro. You got called in.
These guys are like 30-year-old like army dudes and shit. Like, I went and partied these guys. It was fun. We had a good time, but it was like, I got called in as the closer for Vegas. It made me feel cool that my, 15-year younger cousin's fiance was like, "You gotta come to this party." So that was fun. And then we just went back. Me and Chrissy's 11-year anniversary was last weekend. So we went and saw the Bengals Raiders game, watched the Bengals beat the Raiders. That was 2 Sundays.
Barely, bro, right? Till the end?
You're a performance enhancing vacation guest.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, yeah.
How good does that feel?
You're like steroids for vacations.
Yeah, I thought about making that my business. I'm a bachelor party consultant. Like, you want to have a fun bachelor party, just call me up and I show up on a sparkling coat.
Dude, I got you, bro. Like, yo, I got you. You just call it "I Got You" entertainment or whatever, bro.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm Chris Bowers. I got you. You coming to Vegas? You want to go hard?
What's the craziest bachelor party you've ever been to, Bowers? Because your life is way more crazy and wild and amazing than mine.
Well, what would you plan? Also, that one would be cool too.
Well, the bachelor party I always wanted to do one. We'd call it, like, remember
what's your
the,
platinum package looking like?
Remember that Rock of Love show with Bret Michaels? Where, like,
fuck yeah,
like 10 strippers in a house, and in the end gets to date Bret Michaels or whatever. That's what I thought would be fun for a bachelor party. Call it Rock of Sean or whatever. And then that's what you do. We get 10 strippers. We pay them each $200, but there's a $2,000 bonus for whichever one we vote is the best.
Oh,
guy has a vote, and then you just watch fucking 10 chicks try to compete for $2,000. Whatever that means to you, you know.
My god, bro! How do you even think this up? You know what? Somebody who would fucking have a multi-million-dollar business of teaching people how to go to Vegas and do it right. Because so, you know, if you think about like half the time, everybody's like, "Dude, I'm gonna crush it down there. I'm going to fucking Vegas. I'm going to come back." Like, shut up, bro. You got like $80, okay?
Well, honestly, I'm not a big fan of Vegas. I'm getting better. I like the day clubs with the pools are cool. Vegas to me is a lot of just people wandering around looking to have fun that don't know how to have fun. You know,
yep.
It's like people that party once a year at Buffett and think they still party. I party, bro. I go to Buffett. I drink on New Year's. Like, fuck off. You know what you're doing.
Dude, right? I even so hit the joint when it passed.
I drink on New Year's.
The biggest rookie night of the year, New Year's Eve. Have you never drank before? Show up on New Year's Eve.
If there's a Buffett concert on New Year's Eve, holy shit, this guy's going to drink 9 Coronas. It's gonna
be Jesus. Dude, one time we got a babysitter. We went to New Year's Eve. He got wasted.
So, but I had a bachelor party once in Chicago right after college. We were like probably 24 or 5 maybe. And my buddy's brother was in charge of getting the stripper. And we had a private room in one of the, what's it called? Lincoln Park. Lincoln Park has all these bars. There we had a private room in some sports club upstairs in this Lincoln Park bar. And so he's like, "Hey, I'm going to go call the stripper and make sure we're all good." And I was like, okay. So he calls us. It was all like, he's like real connected in Chicago. One of those guys, like popular hot dude. He like knows what he's doing. So he like had this like, "Oh, call this guy. You don't use first names, or you only leave first names, no last name, whatever." So he calls up. He's like, "Yeah, this is Doug. I'm trying to get blah, blah." "Oh yeah, yeah. It's just for my, oh, we're going to this place at the Lincoln Park. Oh, that's where we're all going to be. Oh, it's a bachelor party. She's the dancer for my brother's bachelor party." "Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. All right. Hang on a second. Yeah, dude, I got a hooker, not a stripper. Sorry." I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I fucked up. It's a hooker, not a stripper." And then he goes, "Hang on. Can she dance? Do you have one that can?"
Like it's a rental car company.
So this chick shows up and she's a legit hooker. She's not, I mean, she's like, "I guess I'll dance." And she has a little boom box. She's never done this before. She just shows up and fucks, right? So she's already like in this latex suit where you can almost see through the whole goddamn thing. And so she starts playing this boom box. And within the first song, she's completely naked, like puss out the whole thing. And I'm like, hey, look, I don't mean to tell you your business, but you got to kind of like, you know, leave something to the imagination so we pay you more to get completely naked. You can't be fully naked after the first song, man. What are you doing?" She goes, "Oh, you're right. I should have. I'm like, "Yeah." So then she goes, "What else should I?" So like, I kept helping her because, like, you know, my dad's
a consultant. You're a consultant for her now.
So, but at one point I look over and she's on a pool table dancing naked and completely naked. And she takes a fucking cue ball from this bar, Chicago, Lincoln Park bar, and she puts it in her fucking vagina.
That's not sanitary.
I go, "I'm not sure you should do that. This is
pre-COVID, obviously.
You think that's clean?" And she goes, "Oh, I probably should have washed it." I go, "You think?"
"I probably should have washed it."
And she takes it out. And she was like 10 years older than us too. She was like 35. She was trying her best, but she had like the short mom hair and the curls, you know. It was just like, it was rough. And so
it was at least go with the 5 ball or something. It's not handled near as often as the cue ball. Right, exactly. It's like the most handled ball on the pool table.
The only one that bounces
the cue ball because it's slightly smaller, so it can fit in the hole. That, you know what I mean? In a bar table, anyway, it's a little bit smaller. So when you scratch, it goes to the different hole. Anyway,
You guys should have changed the game. You know how a lot of times with true pool people, like if you miss the ball you're shooting at, it's ball in hand. You get to move it. You got ball in vagina. So every time you miss a shot, she gets to put it in her vagina.
I was hoping she could score like a ping pong ball and make a shot, but it was too heavy. She didn't have the Kegel muscles for that. But anyway, so at one point, I don't know what's happening. She's completely naked. And she's now, by the way, there were like 12 of us. There were only 6 of my buddy and our friends. And then Doug, the brother, brought like 5 people, right? They're just random Chicago dudes that were just maniacs, right? And they're like getting older than us and whatever. So this fucking stripper or hooker is dancing. And at one point I look over and one of the other dudes, not one of our dudes, but one of Doug's friends is fucking eating her out.
Ooh.
This guy.
This is back to the cue ball, by the way. I'm like, I go, did you just eat her out? He goes, I don't have a girlfriend. I go, yeah, but you have syphilis now. What are you doing?
I don't have a girlfriend.
No. So anyway, then fucking another guy starts eating her. It was the weirdest thing. Another one of these dudes starts eating her. And the DJ for this bar just walks in to see what's going on. She's like, there's 12 of us in this pool room. And this fucking hooker getting eaten out by this dude. And the DJ goes, well, this is horse shit. She shouldn't be eating you guys out. You should be eating her out. She should be sucking your dicks. And she crawls over to this DJ, unzips his pants, and starts sucking his dick right in front of us. We don't know him. He doesn't know us. And he just goes, one of the coolest things I've ever seen. He does, as he's getting his dick sucked by this hooker, he goes, well, this is awkward.
I can't believe that's real. That happened.
You can call that show Guys That Don't Know How to Use Hookers.
Right? It was terrible.
Oh, man, bro.
That was the same night. The end of that night was I walked back to wherever I was, the hotel I was in, like the Hyatt or something. This is before Uber. I'm just walking. I'm wasted, walking. Finally, I'm like, I can't do it. I got to get a cab. So I hail a cab. Yeah, he goes, where are you going? I go, Hyatt. He goes, $6 minimum. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah. So I get in the back. He goes, literally pulls up half a block and goes, all right, $6. I gave up building for my building. Because I didn't have a GPS on my phone. It was before you had a phone or anything. I don't fucking know. Yeah. It was this direction somewhere. Oh, I gave up 800 feet too soon.
That's awesome, bro.
Well, people know all our history. Probably everybody listens to the show. But you know how the three of us all got to experience the summer of Pat, first summer with single Pat McAfee? I had the summer of Bowers when you and I first met. Oh, I'm getting an echo. You guys hear that at all?
I didn't, but
no.
Okay. So I had the summer of Bowers. So when I first met Bowers, Sean, I had so much vacation and comp time built up when I was a detective.
Because until the day you started comedy, you were like a really good police officer.
Right? Yeah, I just worked all the time.
Really hard. You like were really like a go-getter. You were like top 1%. Like, hey, if you need a volunteer, McComas will do it. He's a fucking paratrooper and a rescue diver. And what do you need? I'm undercover. I'll go do it. But let's go. You were like Mr. Superhero. And then the first day you set foot on the stage, you were like, oh, wait, no, I'm not doing that shit anymore. I'm just going to sit
right. Right. Plus I was in a 10-year horrible marriage, so I just wanted to work all the time, right? So I for like 10 years I took no days off. I had all this time built up. So when I first met Bowers, he catches me in the open mic. He's like, he owned Morty's Comedy Joint at the time, and at the time I was doing open mics at Crackers. He was like, hey, you should come try Morty's. And I'm like, oh, okay, sounds good. So he's like, well, come over to my house, we're having a party. I didn't leave his house for like the summer. Like I just took the whole summer off and just stayed at his house.
Was that the summer we had pledges?
Yes, you had these pledges, like almost comedy intern, like pledges, like a frat house for comedians.
Yeah.
So me and like two other open micers just spent the entire summer there, sleeping in his basement or wherever outside. It didn't matter. The whole summer, just one continuous party. And like I remember one particular time. My boss at work was like, are you ever coming back to work? And I was like, I don't know, bro. Look at this and see what you think. And I just pointed my phone and took a picture. There was a girl on the couch. It's like 9 a.m, completely nude, just sitting there watching TV. And Nick Anthony and Joe Zimmerman, two other comics, were there because they were doing the weekend at Morty's. They had went out jogging. Pre-nude girl on the couch, came back from their jog all sweaty, like drinking water, other things, and they just freeze. Like, and Nick just spits water, and he's like, what the fuck? There's this gorgeous, this naked girl just sitting there watching Price is Right. Like, it was amazing. And I'm like, no, I'm not coming back to the work until this is over.
We just have a rule. If you hear yelling or cheering, run towards the cheering, because there would be like just fucking in the part in the kitchen. There'd be like body shots off the island. Like it was a crazy summer, man. It was intense. It was
you would wake up every morning and then you would just slowly, you would shake off the cobwebs from the night before. And then you would just slowly get you a little something to eat. And then somebody would crack a beer. Somebody would break out some tequila. And then the drinking just started until by about, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, full-fledged party till 3 or 4 in the morning. It was just every day like that for that entire summer. And he had this badass, you were there, Sean, that badass house in Carmel with the pool and the hot tub. Jesus.
Yeah, that was the first summer I dated Chrissy, started dating Chrissy. And I remember one time there was one of the comics had met these two chicks in Lexington and they were going to come up and have a three-way with him, right? So we get back to the house and she doesn't believe they're coming, and like 2 a.m. these two girls show up, and the hot tub was right off the master suite. Like, it was our room and these like French doors, and then outside was the hot tub. And so like 7 in the morning, I wake up and Chrissy's like on the end of our bed, like looking out the window, and she goes, "Hey, he's out there fucking those two girls." And I go, "Yeah, I know." And she goes, "I know this happens a lot in your world, but this is new to me. This is cool." That much. It happens sometimes, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of not as much as it seems like. I'll say that. Like, my life seems like more three ways than it is, but you know, that's not a bad way to live your life, I guess.
Hey, fuck it, bro. That is so funny that you said that.
That was a fun summer, man. We had a good time.
Oh my God. Insane.
It was pretty intense.
If I could go back in time for one summer, that's the summer.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Dude, that was just unbelievable. We were young. We could handle it. Like, and it was just, I mean, like I said, I can't even fucking describe it. I just one continuous party every day. It just rolled from one party into the next. And it was always a different cast of characters, which was awesome. Because Bowers had like 6 different friend groups. And then you had the comedy club group. So the comedy club group was kind of always around, but mixing with this different groups that would just rotate in and out. Yeah, always.
One of my favorite moments from that time was, you remember Nipples for Cheese? Were you around for Nipples for Cheese? One day I'm just standing in my kitchen and I'm eating I had a thing of like Colby Jack, like cheese slices, like a Sargento pack. And I'm just eating a piece of cheese. And this girl goes, "Can I have a piece of cheese?" And I go, "Show me a nipple." She goes, "Come as later." Nigel comes in. She goes, "Hey, we're showing Nipples for Cheese in here." She shows me.
Word got out of the party.
Piece of cheese, and then it became a thing all summer. It was just Nipples for Cheese. If I ever had cheese, girls. And I never had to mention it again. I said it one time, and it became a thing. It was amazing.
That's so awesome.
We used to play the Tim McLaughlin game. Remember the Tim McLaughlin game? You ever hear that one, Sean?
What's that game again?
This is a game where we would have girls would show me their boobs.
Oh, yeah. Back
to Tim so he couldn't see them, and he would get so mad.
It was so awesome, dude. Girls just loved to play the Tim McLaughlin game. Like, they would he would get so mad. He would turn around, like a girl would walk up. If you were talking to Tim, a girl would just slide in with her back to Tim and just show you her tits, and then Tim would be like, "Fuck you guys," and just fucking get mad and storm off.
He threw a plant over the fence once. He was so mad. It was so funny.
That is insane. Oh my God. To get that many people in on a fucking joke like that on that level is just something funny, man. Well,
for years, I would have girls show me their boobs with their back to the camera, and I'd send Tim the pictures. It just amazing.
We had pudding wrestling.
That was a few years later, but pudding wrestling was the thing. My 40th birthday was pudding wrestling. That's how you know how a good party when I always used to say you knew it was a good party when you had to change the hot tub water.
Which, let's be honest, it should have been changed daily.
Well, but there's sometimes you come out on a Monday and be like, "Oh God, all right."
You didn't need that or a complete fucking box of shock.
Yeah. It'd be like that. You'd be in hazmat suits, like that scene from Caddyshack where the candy bars in the pool. We had a fun time. I
always remember that, and then your memory is way better than mine, but remind me of where we were. We're doing comedy somewhere, some city. And we leave the club or venue and no Bowers. But there was a period of Bowers' life. We just called it was there was Bowers and there was Blackout Bowers, right? Yeah. So he had achieved Blackout Bowers mode, and we were like fucking. We're in this strange city. We're turning around. We had some girl was with us, and we're like, hey, we can't find Bowers. Everybody's freaking out. Like, where's Bowers? Where's Bowers? Black Day's gonna get hit by a bus or something. I'm like, all right, here's what we got to do: find someone that's from here. So they grab this local comic, and I'm like, where is the nearest place that sells hot dogs at this time of night? And he told us, we go there and he's fucking there just eating. He had like four hot dogs. He's just housing hot dogs at this place.
There was a time in Blue, I don't know where that one was, but Bloomington, Illinois, one time they found me in the middle of a park eating a whole pizza. Somehow I got somewhere. And I had a whole pizza on my lap in a park, just on a bench.
The fact that Todd fucking said, all right, everybody, spread out. Let's go wherever they eat hot dogs. Let's go there. That's like literally from the fucking True Detective, bro. That's a True Detective move.
So I don't know if I talked to, I know I've talked to Todd about this a little bit. I don't know if I talked to Sean about it, but I think I figured out what a blackout is. Sean, I tell you that what's happening during a blackout. It's kind of cool. So for a long time, like I thought when I blacked out that I, you know, as you live your life the next day, you don't remember anything, but that's not what's happening. When you black out, you stop forming new memories in the moment. So it's not, you don't remember tomorrow. You don't remember right fucking now. Right. So what happens is your brain, however drunk you are, I call them loops. The shorter your loop is, let's say you're on a 15-minute loop. That means every 15 minutes, your brain starts over. Now, in that 15 minutes, you seem sober and coherent. You're totally talking. You've got things to say. You're fucking doing whatever you're doing. But every 15 minutes, it's like 50 first dates, and you start over with no memory of the 15 prior. Right. That's why drunk people are annoying sometimes, and they'll keep arguing even after you agree with them. It's like, dude, I agreed with you 3 fucking minutes ago, you dick. Quit fucking right? But they tell you the same story every 15 minutes. What's funny is like I did this with my buddy Joey. He was like super blacked out. And what I realized is so earlier in the night, we'd had an argument where he won, where I'm like, yeah, you're right, dude. I'm a dick. Every time his leap started over, he was mad again. And so I had to learn, I called it training a dragon, how to learn each time. I learned how to get him out of the anger quicker, right? So like eventually I learned that if I said sorry, that pissed him off. But I said my bad, we were good. So we would he would start over, get pissed off. And for the first 3 loops, it took me like 10 minutes to calm him down each time. But by the fucking 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th loop, I was just like, my bad. And we just drank for 14 minutes till he started over. And so that's what happened.
That's called a controlled experiment.
Right. Exactly. I called it training a dragon. But the point is like but when you think about like man, woman situations, the problem is like, you don't know that you went and talked to that girl 4 separate times. That's why she thinks you're creepy. You thought you went up there once. Because whenever we drink, we lose things in our brain. Here's the really fucked up part. All the things you remember the next, like when you drink pretty heavy and you're like, I wasn't drunk. I remember stuff. No. The things you remember are the things you did 4 or 5 times. That argument you had with your girl 6 times, that's what you remember because you had it 6 separate fucking times. You don't know that because your brain doesn't know it's starting over. That's why you don't know it's 5 a.m. all of a sudden. You're like, what happened? Because it's been the same 15 minutes for 3 hours, right?
And so, is there a way to...
Or vice versa, if a girl kisses you 15 minutes later, she might remember that happened, right? So then you come up, you're like, hey, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, oh, we made out like 10 minutes ago. She's like, oh, I wasn't part of that. You know, so it's kind of, you got to kind of like, fuck it. It's weird. And because with Joey, like, I would tell him just as an experiment, it was like 6 or 7 times he would do this loop. I would tell him the same thing all 7 times. And then I'd tell him one different thing each 7 times. And the next day he remembered like it only happened once, the thing I told him 7 times. And he didn't remember any of the things I just told him once. So
it's so true. Like, and I witnessed it in the wild myself after he explained this. He came through Indy. So we were hanging out at a sports bar, and we are with Rachel. They used to work at Morty's, and her brother's there, and he is blacked out. And he, every 15 minutes on a loop, he would say the same thing, same story to me. He would be like, man, I remember Rachel used to say, hey, you got to come to the club tonight. Todd McComas is performing and he's awesome. You're going to love it. Same story as if it was the first time he told me. And then he had another story that was specific to Bowers that he would just turn around and run on a 15 minute loop. Like it was incredible. Like the theory is sound.
I haven't seen
this. And honestly, as I'm listening, I feel like I'm listening to like a psychology podcast where if someone's breaking down behavior shit or a behaviorologist or whatever the fuck.
I'm just trying to help out blackout drunks. So here's my theory. I don't think anybody as smart as me has ever blacked out this much. So I think I'm the first guy to figure it out.
You and Ernest Hemingway.
The scientists who actually work on this shit don't black out enough to know what's happening.
So what they need to do is have a fucking sweet ass party, an open bar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With a bunch of scientists walking around clipboards and just fucking run with.
There aren't,
just get more data, more analytics.
Aren't enough studies on what happens to the human brain and your body when you get fucked up, because no one who is of high standing in any scientific community has ever had any fun.
I will say our friend Brandy is actually mm-hmm. starting an MDMA study through the government for the VA to work with a PTSD, to use MDMA to
nice
PTSD. So they're starting to figure this out. I mean, you know, to Sean's credit, I don't apologize for this, but, you know, I was never a weed guy when I lived in Indiana. Now, part of that was because we had Indiana dirt weed, and I'm not sure it's the same thing. And I'm not a smoker was my problem. But out here, I found this tincture oil, this, like, weed oil. And I'm not kidding, guys. Like, I don't know, you know.
Three cheese sells a delicious amount of tinctures.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, I don't know how it would leak out occasionally, but I always had this, like, rage in me. Right. I don't know if you ever sensed it as a person, but I would just like that. Sometimes when I was black, I was just always angry all the time. And I learned over years how to suppress that, not be mad and like, oh, I'll cope with it. Oh, don't, you know, not let my brain go dark places, blah, blah, blah. But when I take this tincture oil, I'm just not mad. It just goes away. All the rage just goes away. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't take the tincture oil for a couple of days, I'll get real mad again because I was already mad. I just forgot how to cope with it because it's been 8 months since it's been whatever. And so, like, I was like, do I have a problem? But I'm like, no, you wouldn't yell at someone who stopped taking their Zoloft. You wouldn't call someone who took Zoloft every day so they weren't depressed a fucking addict. You'd be like, no, right. Yeah. No, that's your medicine, man.
Yeah.
So, your meds.
And I'm not stoned. I'm just chill. I'm just chill now. I just don't have any fucking anger in me.
Well, it's impossible to get angry on weed. It's just impossible. Try it. Try to get high and then just get mad at somebody. Yeah. You can't do it.
You had to counteract with a lot of whiskey.
Yeah,
well, that's why.
You make stones piss, but it takes a lot.
Sure, at the point where the weed doesn't even matter anymore, it's right. The whiskey. At that
right,
point.
Right, right.
What the eyebrows start going down like this, and you start fucking thinking, "Oh, motherfuckers, dude, you fucking assholes."
That's why there was so many people. You know, there's so many shootouts in the Old West. All he did was drink whiskey. You ever notice that? Like they even have beer. It was just always shots of whiskey. No wonder you're shooting each other in the street.
Yeah,
and tequila is just Mexican whiskey of debate, basically on that level, because, you know, it's fun until it ain't no more.
You know, we all have that friend of this. They're the best till they're the worst. You know,
but that's why I moved to vodka, bro. After the fluffy tour, I gave up on whiskey. I'm like, you know what? I just go to dark places on the.
Me too. No,
I still drink it, like, but I drink it very moderately.
You know,
before it was a bottle of Crown every night in the green room, like, and I was collecting them. You know what I mean?
I'll be honest, guys. I still drink, but I'm not a drinker really. I'm more. I do this tincture oil. I take some Adderall and maybe three drinks, and I'm fucking just flying, having a good time, man.
That's the perfect buddy of mine,
I'm like,
Bowers has done a complete 180 because when he lived here, like he was so anti weed and anti like people like that did it. Weed.
I wasn't anti weed per se. Here's what I was anti.
No, this is the truth. You would always be like. People that smoke weed just aren't fun. They're not fun. All it does is make you antisocial. They just sit around and they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's why drinking is so much better, because drinking is a social.
But also, here's what it is. Also in Indiana, that's not true, right? Like the people that smoke weed in Indiana, it's in a basement. They're sitting around. They're watching fucking Rick and Morty and getting stoned and not doing
they're
shit.
They're definitely not progressive stoners in Indiana. No, I can definitely say that.
Because it's kind of like – I've always said, you know, is meth that addicting, or just only addicts try meth the first time? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not an addict, so I don't know if I could do heroin like the guys in Vietnam did and come back and just quit. I probably could, because I think, you know, that's not how I use drugs, right? It's not a hook for me. But anyway.
Yeah, but I'll take their word for it, you know?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying is, like, they've done studies where, like, 25% of the soldiers in Vietnam took heroin 3 to 7 times a week. And when they to the point where they thought it was going to be a big crisis, and when they came back from Vietnam and they weren't in war, fucking 95% of them just stopped cold turkey the day they got back because they didn't need heroin anymore because they weren't in a fucking jungle, right?
Yeah, so like, shooting at fools and coming up out of the ground.
Right. So my point is, like, you know, anyway, so I think that on some level, the people in Indiana who do, there's a, because it's illegal and sorry, whatever, the people that smoke weed, it's this small subset of the only people that want to sit on their couch and smoke weed anyway. Where in California, everybody smokes weed. So there's people that are out doing things that are stone. There's people that are fun. There's sativa. There's all, I mean, also too, you got to find your strain. Like it took me a year and a half to find a weed that didn't make me eat all the time or fall asleep right away or whatever. And they all do a little different shit. Like, just like alcohol does. It's so funny to me. And I was one of these people. So that's why I use it now. I think there's nothing wrong with learning. I don't know why we keep getting mad. Oh, now you're. Yeah, I learned. Sorry. I'm a dick. And now I learned. My bad.
I didn't have an open mind. And now I do.
Now I do because I learned.
Or I didn't. I definitely had a closed mind on a certain subject. And then I figured it out. Okay, it's like a fucking Rubik's Cube. Calm down, smart guy.
Yeah, but people are like, oh, I don't like weed. It makes me sleepy. I'm like, how many times you smoke weed? They're like, twice. I'm like, yeah, the first two times you drank, you threw up all over your parents' basement. Shut the fuck up. It took you 11 years to learn how to drink, you motherfucker.
Hey, but also, don't forget that I remember because I always rolled around like, yeah, you're right. Indiana's very different. They're definitely like old school stoner style, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I showed up all ready to do stuff, but I smoke weed everything I do, like not just sit around. But you always said that it didn't affect you. I'd be like, you want to hit this? And you'd be like, dude, I just don't get high. I don't get high.
You know what? Here's the other thing too. I'll say is that and this goes with
where's that stand now?
All the drugs I've tried. Here's honestly, Sean, my brain is so locked in on itself. Like I have my brain on lock. I don't let myself think things I don't want to think. I don't let myself be sad. I just my brain is in charge of my brain, right? Uh-huh. And so my brain didn't know how to be high. I had to learn how to be high. Just like the first time I ever took Molly, I didn't feel anything because I didn't know what I was supposed to feel. And then like, oh, it feels like that. And once I let my brain let it in, my brain will go, oh, okay. Oh, that feels nice. Okay, cool. But it won't like, you know.
I always knew that though. I mean, on some level, I always knew like, well, you don't know that you're high because you haven't ever smoked weed enough to know like what's up.
Now, part of it, I will say, is that's how bad I am at smoking. Like I've never smoked anything. So my lungs, I literally call me Chris Christofferson because every time I fucking take a hit of weed, I cough for an hour. So I think a lot of it, I just wasn't inhaling any. I wasn't getting any weed into my system because I didn't know how to smoke.
Yeah.
Like I went to Richie Reagan's house one day. He's like, no, suck in oxygen through your lip. Cause I was just going.
I remember hitting you with a couple of that sometimes too. Cause he'd have a big puff come out of your mouth. I'm like, bro, it's got to go in your lungs.
Yeah.
But I tried, I just couldn't get it in there. So that's why I like the tincture oil. Cause again,
perfect.
It's basically what they make the gummies out of without the sugar and the candy. But you know, I was telling you remember, you know, Logan Barrett, you guys remember Logan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Great conversation we had with Logan the other day that it made me laugh, but because he's kind of sad, you know, he's got some trauma. His dad's a dick or whatever. Hit him in the face with a gerbil, which you shouldn't throw your pets at your kids. That's mean, but still, you know, at some point you just got to get over that shit and not be sad.
But you got to do me a favor. If I'm ever tell you that I'm sad, just don't say it on another podcast for me.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen you sad, so I don't think we have to worry about that.
I hide it well.
So I said to Logan, I go, dude, at some point you just got to tell your brain to stop being sad and just be happy. He's like, my brain's not in charge of my happiness. I go, all right, man, let me ask you a question. I go, last week when you came over to watch football, he's a huge Packers fan. I go, what'd you do the whole fourth quarter? He goes, stood up. I go, why? He goes, because if I sit down, they lose. I go, okay. So you're telling me your brain thinks it's in charge of the Green Bay fucking Packers, but not its own happiness? But how many times do you do that? How many times? Oh, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to. Oh, you think your brain thinks it's in charge of the decision makers at Fox Studios, but not whether you're happy or not. Fuckface. Come on. And that's the logic problem I caught my brain in, which is why I'm happy. My brain can be happy if it wants to be. Like it thinks it's in charge of the baseball cards. My brain used to think that how I opened the pack of baseball cards affected how the baseball cards were going to be in there.
Well, technically, if you believe in the secret, that's true. If what you think is almost right.
Well, I will say here's what I think. Actually, another step of it is you cause what you fear.
So or if like, you think you're wrong or you think you're right, either way, you're right.
Well, that's probably true. But I'm saying is if you cause, so if you think like if you're afraid you're going to be annoying, you say things like not to be annoying, but it's the mitigation that makes you annoying. If you hadn't have said that, you wouldn't be annoying, right? You ever have a drunk person just apologize every 5 minutes that they're drunk? It's like, I don't care that you're drunk. I care that you fucking keep apologizing. Now you're causing this, right? Like, if somebody wants you to call them on their way home, on your way home, they text you to make sure you made it safe. It's like, what is the biggest cause of accidents? Distracted fucking driving, motherfucker. You sending me this text to make sure I'm okay is way more likely to kill me than me just driving, fuckface, right? So like,
because so you're important to me and I want to answer your text.
right? Well, and I learned this. I sort of, you know, Chrissy went together 11 years, and during the pandemic, I was talking to her, and I just said this, just kind of a, you know, just a, on the way to a point. I said, you know, when you text somebody and you're not sure your relationship with them, and so you're kind of waiting for them to text you back, and you're a little nervous, and then like every time somebody else texts you and it's not them, you're kind of disappointed. And she said, no.
Whoa.
What the fuck do you mean no? No. I didn't know it was an option. And I literally go, what? And without any, she wasn't kidding. She just goes, it just never occurred to me that someone wouldn't call me. Fuck, dude. I didn't
I'll be right back. I got to step outside.
I know. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, like, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, fuck. But well, guess what? Everyone likes Chrissy because she doesn't worry about whether they do or not.
Yeah, she doesn't have that kind of anxiety over dumb shit.
It's the fear of them not liking you that makes you do the weird shit that makes them not like you. I'm not ready for this. So I've been doing it, man. That's what I've been doing. Like every time, I'm like, oh, don't know. This is what you call it. Like I was at a comedy show and I went in the bathroom. I come to the bathroom. This other little comic dude, you know, kind of, you know, one of those anxious, nervous comedy nerd kids walks up next to me. He goes, sorry, I farted in there. And I go, what? He goes, I farted in the bathroom and I was afraid you heard it and I was afraid you thought it was me. So I wanted to apologize. And I go, so you were afraid I knew you farted? So you came out here and told me you farted? Man. He goes, oh, I guess I shouldn't have told you that. I go, I didn't fucking have any idea what anything was going on until you came up and told me you farted. And by the way, you should fart in the bathroom. I don't know if you're upset about that. But second of all, fucking, no. What are you doing?
Also, yeah, third of all, thank you. Thanks. Not for doing it out here, bro.
Also, never commit crime. It's like walking up to the cop and like, sorry, I stole that jacket.
Right? Well, it's like in soccer when it hits your hand, you go, oh, and you shake your hand a bunch. Yeah. handball. You just been like,
my hand.
You know?
You know, that's a wild thing to dive into. Because especially like in entertainment, and then as you get older, more and more things happen. So you get like, well, what happened here? Well, what happened there? You never know the truth because people never tell you. This everything is always so passive aggressive. You know, relationships in general, whether it be romantic or business or friendship, and that's just such a big deal. Like when she said, "Well, I don't know why they want to text me back." I'm like, "Whoa!"
But Chrissy does not have.
But you know what,
she does not have a negative, 1 ounce of negative energy in her entire body.
No,
not one.
And what I'm saying is like Chrissy does, it's not that Chrissy doesn't have anxiety. She just only has anxiety for the right reasons. Like, I think we're trying to get rid of anxiety. Like we're trying to get rid of fucking, you can't get rid of anxiety. Like you get rid of gambling or drugs. Like gambling or drugs, you just quit. Well, no, getting rid of anxiety is like getting rid of eating food. Help. You got to eat or you'll die. You have to have anxiety. And like, that's what I've been doing now. So like, if I forget my keys and I go back and get them, like, thanks, anxiety. That's what, you know, if I forgot my wallet, where's my wallet? Oh, fuck, it's there. Thanks, anxiety. Cause you need anxiety sometimes. Cause Chrissy has anxiety, but you know what? She doesn't care what people think about her. You know what she cares about? When the bills are due. No idea when that is. I have no concept.
I just fucking did it. No wonder this relationship works out so well.
I'm just saying, my point is she only cares about the shit that matters. And so what I've been trying to worry about is like only be scared of the stuff that matters. Cause some of the stuff too is shit from when you were a kid, man. Like this fucked me up. Like,
I'm complete opposite. This is insane.
I am the complete opposite as well.
I could give a fuck less when a bill's due. I'm like, what? Oh, this is, you're going to close the account.
My point is learn how to be anxious for the stuff you need to be, not the stuff, you know, like I'll give you an example. For 40 years, if I went to a urinal and there was another dude in the bathroom, it was 50-50 whether I was going to pee or not. About half the time, my dick would be like, nope, fucking scared, not doing this. And I'd have to fucking leave the bathroom all pissed off or go find a stall. It was very annoying, right? Finally, I realized I took some mushrooms. And I was thinking about what the fuck's that about? And I realized, oh, I remembered. I had this memory from when I was like a kid, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there. I was at a Bengals game with my dad. I'm in the bathroom. It's like cold as fuck. And it's fourth quarter, so everybody's drunk, and I'm in line for the urinal because I had to pee. And my dad was already annoyed I had to pee. And then some guy in the bathroom was like, that kid's dick's too small to go to a urinal. Get that kid out of here. I got up there, and I
what?
that. Some drunk guy yelled that. This was 1979 or the fuck it was, 82. Some drunk Bengals fan yelled that out, and that went in my brain. I've been afraid of that motherfucker for 40 years. In my brain, I'm like, better not take your dick out of urinal. Some guy's going to yell, you got a little dick. That's not a thing. That's not a real thing. That happened once. So you take that anxiety part out of your head, and you go, that was stupid. That's not real. So like that one time, I mean, so it's, again, you cause what you fear. So like, let's say you're dating
someone. Crazy thing is, he was trying to give real parenting advice. Like, but that's how that guy's life is. You know what I mean? Listen, he was like, listen, your kid's dick's too small to go to a urinal. He has to sit down.
He's gonna get self-conscious about this moment and not be able to pee at a urinal for years. What do you do?
Also, he's gonna pee on his feet.
Which, by the way, he just caused what he feared for me, which is crazy. But
it's like COVID, but for fucking psychological disorders.
And that's what I'm saying. So you find that moment, like, oh, that's what it was, you know, and you get rid of it. So it's like if you're dating somebody, it causes you fear. If you're dating somebody and all of a sudden you're afraid that they're going to leave you, you start getting weird and jealous. You look through their phone and you fucking not let them go out with their friends. You fucking give them a hard time all the time. And then guess what they do? They fucking leave because you're a dick. If you just fucking let them chill and hang out, they did like you. It was your fear that pushed them away a lot of times. I mean, that happened to me plenty of times where it's like, yeah, you know, I can't just shut the fuck up and be okay. I gotta be like, what are you thinking now? It's like, god damn it. Quit causing what you fear. You know how many times I've said, do you want to break up with me? Is that what you're thinking? And they're like, well, I guess now I do. Sure. Like four times it's happened to me in life. I just fucking quit doing that shit, man. That's all I'm saying.
I cause what I fear. I need that shirt, bro.
It really fucking changes things once you start thinking about it in those terms, man. You just like, where you're like, oh fuck, was this my deal? Was that, you know, because like when I first moved to LA, I realized like I'm trying to build this friend group. So I'd meet all these people and I want to be friends with people. Well, I was afraid they weren't going to come back. So I'd have this big conversation about how we should be friends for a long time. Well, you can't have a conversation about being friends. That's not how it works. So I was afraid they weren't going to come back. And this conversation I had to make them come back, made them not come back. I was literally causing what I feared. So that's
what like, we don't want to talk about being friends.
Right.
Let's just be friends.
Well, I think that's dumb, but you know, I think it'd be better if we all put our cards on the table and fucking had some boundaries and some idea of how friendship works instead of just, oh, you have the same schedule to get drunk as me. Let's, I guess, be friends. You know, it'd be better. But
I've never once thought about sitting around with my friends like at a bar or whatever and be like, let's talk about our relationship, guys.
How to be better friends.
Well, it's just more like something we feel and we just fucking hang out and experience.
Well, what's funny is that group of people I had for 20 years before I started comedy, that was like my friend group till I got divorced, that was like through college. We did do that. We would sit all the time and talk about, we had like we have parties. They're all BYOB, bring your own shit. Or 1 year, like, hey, let's everybody, you provide the shit for the party. Like, just so like one party isn't BYOB and the next one I spent $1,000 on booze. Or like, hey, if we have a party, you don't have to bring us stuff. Don't bring me something. I don't need to trade the same shitty bottle of wine for 10 years around in a circle. Because when you bring booze to somebody's house, it's just something you had at your house you didn't want. It's not like you went to the store and bought something new usually, right? So the same, it's like the canned food drive in fucking high school where they call fucking comedy and fucking kidney beans and shit. Like, how are we helping anybody with this shit?
I have fucking four cases of promotional liquor that the vendors would always send us at the comedy club because you didn't have anywhere to put it. So we all went to my garage. I'm just going to start giving those as gifts because it's the weird, it's the weirdest like free giveaway stuff that is trying to.
It's like the Captain Morgan Jaeger they tried to do for a while, which is
like, we got salmon flavored Jim Beam. Like, what the fuck? Nobody wants salmon flavored Jim Beam. Yeah.
Can you guys want to do a couple shots of poached eggs vodka?
I can really taste the smoke.
Yeah, that's all that shit they give away, bro.
It is interesting. Don't you think it's interesting though, Sean, how like Bowers has a brain that always has to find the answer behind things.
Yeah.
Like you do have a weird anxiety, a mental anxiety I don't know if that's the right term or not, where you can't just sit and experience. Your brain always goes, why is this feel so good right now? Why is this working out so well? And or why is it not working out so well? And you immediately have to analyze and try to find what you believe is the cause.
And I'll give you an example. Like I try to find the I don't worry about the what anymore. I worry about the why. So something. I don't worry about the, so like give you an example. I have a friend who doesn't want to take the vaccine, which whatever, how you feel about that, whatever. I have my own thoughts, but I say, okay, why? And she was like, well, when I took the H1N1 vaccine when I was 12. I developed narcolepsy, and they said that the doctor said that could have been a side effect of the fucking vaccine. Now, whether it was or not, I don't know, but a doctor told her that. So I would be, I understand how you would be then hesitant of another vaccine if you got a weird side effect where she can't, hasn't been able to watch a movie since she was 12, because if she sits down on the couch for longer than 10 minutes, she falls to fucking sleep. And she's on 100 milligrams of Adderall every goddamn day, right? I mean, that's like, you know, that I understand that. So it's not about the what. I don't care. Oh, you're anti-vax. If you're anti-vax because you think it's going to make you magnetic, well, I hope you die. I'm being honest. I really do. I'm sorry, but fuck you, right? But if it's because you have a legitimate reason, or if somebody's like, ah, you know, I'm a black dude and it's Tuskegee, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, I want to know the why of what you're doing, not the what. You know, because the what can be why. If the what is because you're a robber baron or an asshole, but if the why is because you're scared or you're fucking, we're trying your best, then I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. So that's what I'm always trying to figure out. But I think that helps in comedy too, where I'm never like I think that's where comedy changed about 10 or 15 years ago. It used to be a joke worked or it didn't. And then guys started thinking, why did that joke work? Or why didn't that joke work? And starting to make the joke that didn't work, work, as opposed to just telling 10 jokes, the one that worked, they put in their act. And the other nine they throw away. Now you make the other nine work too, because you figure out, well, or at least seven of them, because you realize why they didn't work and you can fix them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm always trying to figure it out. I mean, I'm eventually going to do a podcast called I Figured It Out, where I just explain all this shit, because I just figured it out.
I mean, I like it.
I just generally know the quickest, best way to do everything, because I'm that lazy. You know?
Yeah. Well, what about if somebody, like, you know, they tell you you should go to therapy, da 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 da, right? But what if I have like, Or the subject has like 10 of the top reasons people go to therapy. You're like, I mean, how do you sit down day one and try to figure it out? You're like, all right, buddy, here, you ready? Get your boxes. Let's start checking them off. Like, I don't know. You want to start in chapter 7, buddy? Like, what do we right. do here, man?
Well, I have another friend who, you know, I've been talking to her for years about, you know, helping her and just giving her idea, whatever. And she finally broke down and went to counseling. And she's like, I went to the first counseling session and they asked me to tell me about myself and I didn't know what to say. So I just told the counselor all the stuff you've been telling me over the years. And at the end of the hour, they said, wow, you're really self-aware. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Fuck you, Bowers. She was mad that I nailed it this whole time. I'm like, yeah, that's like that.
That's how I feel like if I went to day one, I'm like, well, buddy, here you go. Let's go. Yep. Here's the reasons I'm probably need to be here.
Yeah. Shit.
Just start giving. Oh, man. Sounds like it just costs like a bit.
Sean, it's not grand. That, Sean, here you sit down and you say, one time my family went to Disneyland without me. That's all you need to start. That's all you need to start. It all comes from there.
Left
all
my comes
from that exact moment is where all this comes from, right? All the tattoos, yeah. All the needing to be on stage, all the just if they just bought you some mouse ears that one day, you'd fucking be a stockbroker in fucking Phoenix. But nope.
No. I'm out here to let everybody know I'm funny.
Or you'd be the warden of that jail you worked at. That'd have been fun. Can you imagine Todd Latham in charge?
No, I would have been in the force with Todd. I would meet him at these fucking luncheons they have in Phoenix or whatever.
No shit. No shit.
The liar Phoenix.
So one time we were in Dallas, Texas. The story always fucking kills me. And it was me and Bowers and this
Mark,
douchebag
Mark,
guy
Mark
that
we're not, we call him Mark yeah, Plummer now.
That we don't talk, we don't mention his name anymore. We're doing the show. We get, of course, after the show, it's just a party. Everybody loved the show. They're just throwing shots. We're just all fucked up. And then everybody wanted to move to this bar down the way. So we go there and we get into Mark Plummer's buddy's car. It was like a big Cadillac or something.
Cadillac DeVille. Big old like 80s one, like big.
Yeah. So we file, I don't know, probably 10 people inside the thing. It's full. There's no more space. And Bowers is like, all right, open up the trunk. I'll just get in the trunk. So he gets in the trunk. We roll up to this bar.
Now, before I got in the trunk, I took my shirt off because I had a nice shirt.
Oh, I was going to save that for the surprise.
Oh, shit. Sorry. We tell that part first, then they forget about it. We always tell this story wrong. I'm sorry. I tell the story differently than you do.
You always do.
Yeah, I fuck it up.
I give it from my perspective because all I knew and all everybody else knew in the car was that he's getting in the trunk, right? So we pull up to this bar and it's like when Roadhouse in the movie, once Roadhouse, the bar really took off after Dalton fixed shit. Like it's people lined up. There's a sea of cars. It's just a sea of people just in front of this thing waiting to get in. And we pull up, 10 people pile out of this Cadillac, and then all of a sudden somebody opens up the trunk and out pops Bowers shirtless, and people are like, what the fuck? Look at him, just jumped up.
I thought it was you had my shirt, but whoever had my shirt, because I wanted to get wrinkly, just hands me my shirt. And I just put it on. Because I thought we were going to get out of the parking lot. That's because I jumped out to make them laugh. I didn't know we were in front of everyone. So I was like, you're doing donuts and shit in the parking lot to fuck with me. I'm getting hit with fucking spare tires and shit. Like, God damn it, you motherfucker. I'm glad I took my shirt off. I'm just fucking back there just going crazy. And then I literally think we're in the parking lot because he doesn't want anybody to know I was in the trunk because he's driving wasted. I didn't think there's any way he's going to pull up in front of the club and all the cops and shit. I just pop out like, because in my head I'm going to be like the Hangover, right? Like the fucking song, right? So I jump. I'm like, hey! And like, I'm like, what the fuck? Why are we in front of the Jesus Christ, you dick?
Oh man, that's just funny.
Then we're inside and we're having a kick-ass time, right? Just fucking people loved us. We were just having, you know, they're buying shot, whatever. And then for some reason, dickhead Mark Palmer gets into it with some fucking cowboy and punches. I get in between them, like I'm like trying to act like I'm not paying attention. I just like face the bar and I just fucking like, so they're on each side of my shoulder and I'm not looking at either one of them, just trying to create a barrier. And then he reaches over my shoulder and punches this dude in the face. And the guy goes down and he comes back up and Mike is gone. Mark is gone. And the dude just looks up. He's like, who fucking punched me in the face? And I'm like, I don't know, dude, but let's numb it. You want some shots? Fucking, we end up becoming like best friends with that whole, he's like, okay. And we party with him the rest of the night. Didn't even meet up with Mark Plummer again until we went to the hotel. That fucking scared little bitch just ran out the door and fucking got a cab back to the hotel.
And there are 8 or 9 stories where someone gets Mark Plummer stories where someone gets punched in the face. And that's the first one where he's the one doing the punching.
Yeah, it's usually him getting punched.
How about that guy, though? He's just like, his story the next day, bro, I don't know what's going on. I argue with some guy a little bit, but next thing I know, I'm just punching the face. And then I get up and this dude starts buying me shots, bro. I didn't even fucking find the guy who socked me. And then this dude's named Todd. He's a comedian, bro. He's fucking cool. He's also a cop.
I had one at Rock Lobster in Indianapolis on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. You know, it's like the biggest party night of the year or whatever. It's my buddy Ryan's birthday. So we're out at Rock Lobster, but I'm like 40. I mean, I'm not like a young kid. And it's all these college kids. They come back their first time home, 21 for Christmas. They can't wait to go to the bars in their hometown with all their high school buddies. So it's like a big high school reunion everywhere, right? So, but it's my buddy's Ryan's birthday. So we're all at the bar and there's this really drunk guy behind or next to him. And he's like, hey, fucking serve me, to the bartender. And Ryan goes, hey, we're next. And then he'll get you in a second. Calm down. Right. So he gets his drinks and he's going back to the girls. Oh, I forgot to tell you this part earlier, talking about shirts. I had this, I remember I used to wear those like cowboy looking shirts. So I had this shirt that had like snap down the front. Then I had one shirt that just had a snap at the top button and the rest of them were buttons. Mm-hmm. Well, my buddy Ryan's girlfriend had seen me in the button down in the snap shirt. She sees the top snap. She comes up behind me and just goes, and pulls open my shirt and rips all the real buttons off. Right? So now I'm in this fucking cowboy shirt with no buttons, but I'm a fat 40-year-old, and now my guts out. I'm like, God damn it. So they don't have tape or anything with paper. So I get paper clips. Literally, I take paper clips and I just poke them through the shirt and I twist them like twist ties to keep my shirt closed. So now I'm this old fucking guy with twist ties up my shirt. Looks like a fucking moron, right? So anyways, this dude, as Ryan gets his drinks and turns around, this dude just fucking pushes him in the back against the fucking girls, right? Spills drinks everywhere. So I just fucking, like from the side, you didn't even see me. I just punch him as hard as I can. I hit him like sideways, like fucking knuckle in the temple, just boom. And I fucking just crack him because fuck that guy. And so we go down in a heap and he's fucking, what the fuck? Where? And they pull us all off. And the guy's like, and the bouncer who I know goes, what the fuck happened? I go, that guy just fucking punched me. Like, I didn't punch him, he punched me. And I'm like, no, I didn't punch you. Get the fuck out of here. So they drag this dude out and fucking throw him out of the bar, right? They don't make me leave because I'm fucking, yeah, that's my place, right?
You're so, the victim.
So we're there another, like, well, it's only because they know me too, right? I've never been a problem, right? So we're fucking drinking. Finally, it's like 2 a.m, right? And we fucking go. And I see this dude has been pacing in the fucking alley for like an hour, fucking waiting on me.
Right? Oh, geez.
And so, but I don't get fucking with all my friends, whatever. And so there's a cop, a Marion County sheriff. There's a cop van sitting there and he's like standing behind the van, like just kind of like this, like against the van, but you can't really see him from the alley. right? So I come out of the bar and this guy goes, "You fucking piece of shit, I'm gonna fucking kill you." And I go, "You wanna fight me?" "Yeah." I go, "All right, bring it." And this dude starts charging at me. And as he turns, the cop just turns and just clotheslines the kid. Falls in the dirt, flips him over, handcuffs him, throws him in the van, drives him away. This dude missed fucking Thanksgiving with his family. I sucker punched him. For pushing my friend. And he got fucking sucker punched and arrested and duped by this fat fucking old guy with fucking twist ties on his fucking cowboy shirt. Like this kid had to feel like such a piece of shit.
Oh, what a loss. What an L. What an L. This kid was minus 450 going in. Oh my god, bro.
My other favorite story from Average Joe, same kind of concept. One time it was me and my buddy Tushlog and this girl, let's call her Lydia, and Katrina, you remember Katrina, and another dude, but Dr. Andy, we go to this bar, and Dr. Andy goes to the bar and he comes back. He goes, "Oh, some dude's 21st birthday there." It was like a Monday. Like, there's nobody there. It's winter. There's like 10 of us in the whole bar. There's one kid's 21st birthday. And Andy comes back and he goes, "Dude, that dude on his 21st birthday puked on the ground on the way to the bar." And I go, "Oh, that's gross." So I tell the bartender, "Hey, somebody, the 21st kid birthday, I guess, puked in the bath or on the way to the bathroom or whatever." And so they go clean up. They go throw out the kid, right? So I go out kind of out there on the phone. And they're like, "Get out of here, you fucking cheese. You're fine." He's like, "I didn't fucking puke. Fuck you guys. I didn't fucking puke. Fuck you guys." I'm like, "Just get out of here." And they push him. And as he's walking, I don't know why I did this, just to be a dick, I go, "Yeah, get out of here, pussy." I don't mean that. Yes, but I didn't. I was drunk and I just thought it'd be funny. Well, he thinks it was one of the bouncers. He can't handle it. He turns around. There's a big bouncer and like a little cook. And he goes, "Fuck you." And he does not you to the big guy, to the little guy. "You." He just goes, "Ah." He starts running at the little guy, right? So again, same thing. The bouncer picks him up by his throat and slams him on the ground. So this kid's on his back with his head off the curb. And one of the coolest things I've ever heard, as he's getting choked by this bouncer, he goes, "Does this make you feel like a big man?"
Oh my God.
So
oh my God, bro.
The bouncer, like that, makes the bouncer go, "Oh fuck, you're right." So he stands up and he goes, "All right, get out of here." So I go tell his buddies, I go, "Hey, your buddy's got thrown out. You might as well go find him. He got hit by a bouncer. Just make sure he's okay or whatever." So I come back and I'm telling everybody this story, and Katrina goes, "Guys, Lydia threw up." Oh, it wasn't even this dude. We think of puke frame this poor bastard.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Bro. That's a clean ass double closer, bro.
That's fucking epic. All right, brother. Well, thanks for hanging out, man. Everybody check out Bowers if you haven't. I don't know if you're on social media anymore, but you got a show. Well,
here's what we'll do. So SD, S is in Sam, D is in dog, S is in Sam, C is in Charlie, SDSCshow.com.
What the fuck did you just say?
It's called Social Distancing Social Club, but it's SDSCshow.com is my show. I do it Wednesdays and Fridays. Wednesdays with Jody Sweeten from Full House and our producer, Rachel. And then we have two comics on that. And then I do a show called Origin Stories, which is on Wednesdays. Todd will be on Origin Stories today, but I think this will be out by that time that's out. But you can come to, if you go to Origin Stories, we have a Patreon, patreon.com Origin Stories. You can check that out. It's Patreon only. And then my social media is Patreon Bowers Comedy. So I do show posts and stuff, but all my fun social media, I moved only Patreon only. So $8 a month. I was tired of the algorithms and all that bullshit and giving away shit for free and having billionaires use my content to make money and piss people off. So I'm not doing that shit anymore. So
fucking Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Pig. So
come see everything I'm doing at Patreon/Bowers Comedy.
Check him out, everybody. All right, guys. Let's do this again sometime.
Yes, sir. That was awesome.
See you guys.
Later, buddy.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.